Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So last year, let's go back to last year's playoff bracket. In the AFC, you had the Chiefs, the Texans, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bills, the Broncos. Any frauds on that side of the bracket?
Say again?
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
The Texans, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bills, the Broncos.
No, Texans.
Texans would be the frauds?
Yeah. I don't think they're frauds because of the division. Because if you look at it.
That's why I think they're frauds. That's why, I mean, that's why they had 10 wins last year.
Okay. Okay. I'm going the other way.
And I'm with you.
That they belong in the playoff because they're the best team in their division.
But you're saying any other division, they're not in the playoffs.
No, absolutely not.
I'm with Ed on that.
Yeah. Well, I guess this year I finally got to admit, I mean, I still want to see more of them, that Bo Nix wasn't going to be as bad as I thought he was.
I think he's better than I thought.
Yeah.
In the NFC. The Lions, the Rams, the Vikings, the Buccaneers, the Commanders, the Eagles, the Packers. Any frauds on that side?
I don't think so.
Anybody on that side you say, I don't see going back to the playoffs?
The only ones I would see is probably the Vikings or the Packers. That division's so good, I think somebody may get bounced. But I think the Lions, Packers, and Vikings all may go.
Yeah, the Vikings, I can't see them go with J.J. McCarthy, can you?
I don't know. I mean,
I think the coach is great. But it's fair. The one thing I would say is, I know you posted, do you have a sleeper team or someone? Like, I think Carolina takes a huge step forward this year. Now, does that mean they're going to win their division?
I hope
so. No, that's a lot to ask.
I love that quarterback.
But if you look at what Bryce Young did down the stretch, the way that everybody made it seem like he didn't know what he was
awful.
Doing. He was so good last year.
Yes, he was.
In the last eight games.
People made it seem like he was the worst quarterback in the National Football League. No, they just didn't. They didn't develop him. When the owner stepped in and said, look, we're paying this guy. You better do something with him.
And
They didn't use Christian McCaffrey, right?
No, back when they had, guy that came originally from the Cowboys, North Turner, wasn't he where?
Was he there? That long ago?
Yeah, North Turner was there at the beginning.
That was a while ago, right?
The beginning of Christian McCaffrey.
Was he there?
I thought he was. Was it North Turner?
Old coffee cake?
Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm getting that completely wrong. Well, but the team that I think you better be aware of in the NFC, that team down south, man, them Commanders. I think what they're building is something that's trouble. I think they're trouble, and I think largely because what makes you trouble more than anything? A quarterback. And I think this kid is the business.
Okay.
I do. I think he is the absolute business.
I mean, I can't even argue that because he looked so good in year one. You just hope he doesn't have the because C.J. Stroud had the down year in year two. That's why I think the Texans are legit, but their offensive line was so bad last year that they couldn't get anything done. Their defense was really good. I think the Texans are a good team, but you know how it is. We're going to see a bunch of new teams in the playoffs this year.
It was North Turner. North Turner was the offensive coordinator, Carolina.
What year?
18 and 19.
Okay, so then.
He completely did not know how to use. I used to tell Ed all the time because I told Ed about this Christian McCaffrey guy, and he didn't do much. And Ed was
Ron
like,
Rivera was there. That was the head coach.
I wasn't talking about head coach, offensive coordinator.
I thought you were talking about head coach.
No. And I kept, and Ed was like, well, he's not doing a lot. I said, it's North Turner. And when he left is when he blew up. Anyway.
Yeah. That's whose career took off.
So for me, I think Scary Terry is the piece that they had to have, because you cannot have a young quarterback without a go-to receiver. You got to have a security blanket for a young quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, everybody knew they were going to keep him. You went to the NFC Championship last year. You surprised the whole league. Nobody saw that coming. You have a quarterback for the first time in a long time, really. You're not going to give up Terry. I mean, he was the best. He was the face of the franchise before they got Jaden. I mean, you know, you not let him go. So you know he was going to get signed. You knew Hutchinson was going to get signed. Not Hutchinson. Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
He was going to get signed. So, I mean, you knew these guys were going to play for those teams. Just, it's all posturing.
Man, it's kind of funny, too, to look at that landscape of what you're throwing out there. I think we do this every year where there's probably a team we're not looking at that we undervalue. Something happens to someone's starting quarterback, and then they crap the bed, and it's over with. Could the Rams be a team that we point at and say,
I don't think it's going to happen for them.
Like, who do you think the best team in the West is? Do you think it's the 49ers?
My dark horse team are the Cardinals.
And that's the other team that I like. But I hate putting my money on that, whatever you want to call him, Kyler Murray, man, because like he is so inconsistent.
He's so inconsistent because the one factor about him is I don't think he cares. Like some quarterbacks, like the dogs, I don't think he's that. I gotta win. I have to win, guy. I think he's the I want to win guy.
Yeah, like Tom Brady did this interview where he was talking about I want to be on the meetings and the game plans. I want to have a say in the game plan. I want to do like talking about all the things that are important.
I don't think like, Kyler Murray's that guy.
It feels like he shows up and says, "What are we doing today?
Yeah,
or what do you need me to do?" And I mean, there's as I look out west, it's like could Seattle be that team? Because if anything's wrong with Matthew Stafford, I don't know that I have enough confidence that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to get Devontae Adams and Puka murdered.
And if nothing's wrong with him in week one, with that back at his age, something will be wrong by week 10.
It's just he's always had back problems.
Yeah. We're talking Ravens cut down 53-man roster. Trey and Joppa wanted to weigh in. Trey, sorry for the wait. What's up, buddy?
All good. What's going on, fellas?
Not much, man.
I think the surprise for me is how many draft picks are making the team. Going into the draft when they had 11 picks, I definitely was somebody that stood up and said, let's trade some of them and try to move up, whether, you know, in the first three rounds to try to get a better player. But the board just fell to them right. If I'm counting right, I think they got 8 out of the 11 that are going to make the team. And the only 3 that aren't, they cut an offensive lineman and 2 corners got hurt.
Yep. You know what I love about the draft? It proves me every year. It's proven that Eric DaCosta and company know more than me because I said the same thing. Trade some of them and draft and move up. And they ended up getting everything they wanted anyway.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I just think that's a testament to him. And, the young boys was balling. So, I mean, I thought we had too much of a veteran team. They didn't bring in any veterans to this point. And they believe in their young guys. So, shout out to them.
There you go.
You know, I hate saying it's a good thing, but, like, when a team realizes they have a better player than someone they drafted and they make the bold decision of saying, all right, look, I know we drafted you, but this guy outplayed you. He won the job.
Yeah.
And that I think that's how it should be. You know, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing when you cut players you drafted if you feel like you have somebody better. There is the situation where you just drafted terribly and somebody wasn't better, but you know what teams usually do that.
There's no doubt. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Going to talk more football. 8 o'clock, Kim McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us in studio. That is always one of my favorite segments of the week. Talking college football later on in the show. Maryland Terps head coach Mike Locksley joins the show as well, as he will join us every week for the duration of the college football season. We're happy for that. On the other side, though, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, the people judge books by their cover. I'm going to tell you about the greatest first pitch since George Bush.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
Judgy people.
Judgy bitch.
Yeah. People who just make fun of people who they shouldn't be. People just, you know, judge people by their appearance and things like that. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but it happened here at Oriole Park. Frank the Tank from Barstool.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he got to throw the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Frank the Tank, if people don't know, has autism. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's autistic. And he also weighed 550 pounds at one point. Now he's down under 300. So the guy lost a ton of weight. He's on the spectrum. You know, a lot of people say really crappy things about him because, you know, either they don't understand that it's just, you know, he's on his site. It was very successful. But he came here. He's been throwing out first pitches all over the country. I just bring this one up because he was in Oriole Park. He threw the best first pitch since George Bush did it on 9/11. He actually nailed it, actually made it to the plate, into the glove, on target, just about. And I'm just happy for the guy because, you know, it's kind of like that. His obesity was really out of control. But as everyone sees down, he looks like he's under 300 now.
I don't understand why people get so mad at who gets to throw out the first pitch, who gets to be Mr.
What's
the Splash.
No.
You look like something's the matter.
No, go ahead. Who's your show?
You don't like the tank?
What?
No tank for you?
What am I missing here?
Nothing. Nothing.
You'll find out in the break. Apparently you weren't supposed to make mention of his face smirk.
What?
Yeah. My shovel goes to the stupid-ass people that attack these players on social media and their families. Did you guys see what happened with Cade Povich?
No.
Cade Povich.
Yep, I did.
somebody sent the message. I think this was to his girlfriend or wife. I wish I could see. Yeah, wife. I wish I could see you in church so I could kidnap and rape you and what? See if your trashy husband does his job properly. Damn you. Damn your husband. Die of leukemia. You're trash. That's what somebody wrote to Cade Povich's wife. And good for Cade for standing up and writing something. There have been many baseball players that have done it. The Seattle Mariners relief pitcher. God, I'm blanking on his name. Like, he had to come out and say, hey, I had a bad game, man. Like, I don't want to go out there and blow it up. I didn't want to lose the game for us, but I don't deserve to get messages saying I hope you die because you lost a game and you're in a playoff race. These people are scum. And you're cowards, too, because you guys all hide behind fake images. You're all cowards.
Who would say something that awful, though? Serious, what kind of person is that?
Just trash. The worst that we have to offer.
Joe, I'm going to Audible. I give my shovel to Ed Norris.
What did I do?
So freaking obvious. Frank the Tank.
Oh, he weighed 500 pounds. He has autism. He's on the spectrum.
He's a Mets fan. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I forgot about that.
You didn't forget about squat.
I swear to God, I did.
He's like the biggest Mets fan.
I forgot all about
in the country.
There's nothing better than watching him watch a Mets meltdown.
Exactly. Exactly. It's been on. It's well documented. Joe, he didn't know that?
I forgot about that.
You don't forget squat.
I know. And have you seen the things he's tweeted about Cedric Mullins since going to the Mets?
Yes. That's why. Now you understand my look. Like,
I had no idea. Come on, dude.
That's like saying, you know what? This is akin to saying, man, the Buccaneers played a great game, especially on the defensive side, when they gave up 40 points. The Buccaneers once gave up 40 points and won a game. No, they gave up 38 points, won 40 to 38. Oh, great defensive game plan by Tom. What? What game were you watching?
Yeah.
What on earth were you watching? Because I watched, they couldn't stop anything. It was a turnover that the defensive back almost dropped that ended the game. Like, what game? Yeah, Frank the Tank. All those things you said about Frank are spot on. But don't you think for one second that I didn't.
Honestly, kidding aside, I know he's a Mets fan, rabid Mets fan. But I saw him throw, I saw the Oriole connection there because he threw the pitch out here on the 23rd a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, that's a nice story. I was like, you know, because I do feel bad for the guy. So people do get, again, they get mean with him. It's like, come
on.
He
did something else too at the game. Because that was the Jim Palmer game. He threw out the first pitch. Then Palmer threw out. But he did something. Oh, yeah. He was on the Jumbotron with Dennis. They were conducting something that Dennis does all the time. So he was a presence throughout the game.
Really?
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Antonio in Rosedale has an Orioles question. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Well. Good. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Happy Taco Tuesday to you too, my friend.
Welcome back, Jeremy.
Thanks, man.
Welcome. Do you think the Orioles would get a long-term contract deal done with Gunnar Henderson in the offseason? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You have a wonderful day too, and not this offseason, I don't think. I don't think so. I think the Orioles can get off get a long-term deal with Gunnar. I think they can. I think they will. But why did she put this there? Who is that?
It's Megan Trainor.
Okay.
She's
got a donkey.
Well, she just lost a ton of weight with Ozempic. And people are saying she looks totally different.
Don't look bad on that.
Now, with what you're talking about, too, and getting these deals done, we talked at length about this yesterday with the fact that the three guys that you would probably look at extending, and maybe you take Westberg out of it because of his injury history so far, but Westberg, Gunnar, and Jackson, those are the three guys, and even I think Adley's in there too, even though people are saying he could get traded. Those are the guys I'd be looking at extending. But again, having Scott Boras for the first three that I mentioned, he doesn't usually sign early unless you overwhelm him with something. You give him exactly what he wants or what he thinks his player should get. But then again, like, you offer something that's ridiculous. Is he going to look at it and go, I can get more than
this?
See,
that's what I'm afraid of. See, I don't want to play those games with Scott Boras right now, not with Gunnar. I would do it with Westberg. Because I don't think he will toy around with Westberg in the open market. But I wouldn't do that with Gunnar. Because whatever ridiculous offer you give to Gunnar, you're just setting the market. I don't see him doing that with Gunnar. Gunner could be the prized possession of the
his free agency class when he comes out. Why would you not let him be that?
Yeah. I mean, he's
good. I don't think Jordan Westbrook would be the prized possession of his free agency class. Like, he's going to get paid. Yeah,
what's Gunner's number going to start with?
Five.
At least, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You want me to predict what he's going to make, or you want me to say the starting offer?
I guess to predict.
I don't know what he's going to make, but my I wouldn't start less than five.
Yeah.
I will go to Boris. Here's $500 million.
How many zeros do you need?
Yeah. I will go 10 years, $500 million. That's what I would start off with. He's making $50 million a year. I would backload it.
Man, it's crazy to think that you got a player this talented. And hearing his quote when they asked him about extensions and he was talking about, I want to be on a competitive team, it's going, hey, don't let this team, you got to get them back on track and make sure this is going, because you don't want to piss off your best player to say, hey, I don't want to be here. Because
he said several times in that soundbite, I hate losing.
He did.
Yeah. In fact, he said something. I talked to him the next day. I said, look, dude, I don't know your dad, but high five him when you see him. He said, why? I said, everybody loves winning. But you said something that I say as a coach all the time. He said, I hate losing more than I like winning.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. That's the key. And the problem is, I'm about to get in my old man face. The problem is, there's a generation out there who've lost and been handed trophies. So they don't know how it is to really lose. I know what it is to lose because I had seasons in which I didn't win and I didn't go home with anything. I went home with nothing. But now, you're the last place team and everybody gets a medal or a trophy. So these kids don't know what it really is to lose.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, Gunner was taught, we didn't win, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was taught, he had to be, because you don't know you hate losing unless you truly, truly experience what losing is.
Like Ricky Bobby's dad.
Yeah. Well, but it's also like sometimes when you win, you really lose.
Yes.
And sometimes when you lose, you really win.
Yes.
And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie.
Tie, yeah, I know.
I mean, it just makes perfect sense.
All the sense in the world.
Yeah.
As much sense as for her to win at Jeopardy.
Yeah, the damn Stookie brothers.
410-583-1057 is the number. Kim Cusick joins us to talk some football at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Kyle Bradish makes his return to the mound tonight. I may head down to the stadium. What are you expecting from him after so many weeks off? I can't wait for this. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I don't mind that poster. She's got a donkey.
Where'd she get a donkey from?
Ass. You don't see that?
Goodbye.
You put it in here. Maria Dennis.
That's two squirrels already today.
No, but that's not a squirrel.
Yeah, it is.
She brought...
No, you already squirreled it out there, and when she came in, she saw we had the headsets on, she wasn't going to say
but
anything.
But bringing it in here squirrel. Is not a squirrel.
Squirrel.
All right.
Don't make me tell a balcony story.
Oh, you know what? That just hit me. I was thinking about the balcony you just showed us, and I'm going, no. Don't you dare.
So Kyle Bradish is going to make his season debut today. I remember Kyle Bradish's rookie year, and he was struggling a little bit. People were talking about him, asked me what I thought about him. I said, look, dude, that dude walks around the clubhouse like he's John Wayne. He's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. Great year, 2023, 2024. Only made 8 starts. Even then, he had a 2.75 earned run average, 2-0. Had 53 strikeouts. He had arm problems, Ed. But he had 53 strikeouts and only 39 in the third innings pitched. That's the guy throws unbelievable spin. I'm hoping he can come back. I'm going to give him about, I guess, what, 4 starts the rest of the way, maybe, just to kind of get ready. Mm-hmm. I'd rather him come back this year and finish out than try to start off fresh next year.
I would, too, actually. Because then you got the whole, I don't know. There's something about going to spring training and holding your breath with these guys who've been injured. And then they come out, they get hurt. I just want to, you're right, come on out. Come on. Pitch a little, and then we'll come back, you know, like you never left.
Jeremy, you're talking about 2 years ago, he was finished 4th in the American League Cy Young
Award. Yeah, well, we had said if the Orioles had had Corbin Burns the year before, you would have had the best pitching duo in all of baseball.
Yeah.
And I would ask you this, if Bradish can return to form, and we've already talked about Trevor Rogers and how he's looked, if he has figured it back out again, is it possible that you could have the best 1-2 punch in the American League?
It's possible.
And again, it's like possible. A lot of things have to go right. Like Trevor Rogers has to repeat this next year or at least something close to
if
it.
If Trevor Rogers gives up, what did he give up, 1.40? If he gives up a run more next year, 2.40.
Rob, if he gives up two runs more next year,
yeah, you're right.
It's still,
you're right.
I mean, you're talking about a guy, like having a 3.40 ERA, that's above average.
Yeah.
You know, when you start getting into that Cy Young territory, you're looking at the sub three guys,
right.
The big strikeout guys, or even, you know, somebody, which it applies for Paul Skeens, even though he doesn't get the wins and he doesn't get the run support. Mm-hmm. But I just think that you have a chance here, and I want to see him pitch a couple times down the stretch to see where he's at.
Who's this, Bradish?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. This is special. This
makes
is a big
it fun
deal
tonight.
This
I was
is a
surprised
big deal
to hear that, though. Yeah.
He was coming back?
Yes. I was very surprised.
Marcelino kind of hinted to it a couple weeks ago. He kept saying... let me just say this, man. I know some of you have your criticism of Tony Marcelino, but he might be, he's Michael Eyes. You know, Michael Eyes comes on here, whenever we hang up with him, we say, well, I think this is going to happen. I think mm-hmm. Because he drops those little nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony Marcelino does the same thing. He drops those little nuggets that if you really listen to him, you understand what he's saying. So he kind of hinted around at this a couple of weeks ago, saying that we would probably see Bradish no later. I think what he said was he'll be pitching no later than the Dodgers series. I think is what he said back then. I
can't believe he's pitching tonight.
Yeah.
I really can't. Well, it's amazing.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What do you think? Pitch count would be what? Under 80 tonight, right?
Yeah. 60, 70.
I think you'd be lucky to see him get through the fifth. Just because it depends on, like, if he's getting his strikeouts, you have to be really efficient early in the count to kind of keep your pitch count down. But I think you're probably right. He's probably around 80. Maybe you let him finish an inning and he goes a little bit above it, but there's no reason to push him.
No. You're not in a playoff. He threw, what was it, 89 in his last outing. So 89 pitches.
We'll see. I mean, maybe they're going to be talking to him the whole game. How do you feel? But you know how that is.
That got him through 4 2/3 innings.
Yeah. Got a couple of strikeouts there.
3 strikeouts.
Yeah. Like I said, that kid's got a nasty-ass slider, man, and I can't wait to see it again.
410-583-1057. Mike in Baltimore wants to talk Orioles baseball. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great conversation this morning.
Thank you.
One, I love to hear in the interviews that Gunnar's talking to the warehouse. You know, he's setting it straight. And that point, Rob, that you brought up about the difference between winning and losing, quick little story, because it reminds me of like the Frank Robinson mindset. My oldest, I came home one day, right? But he played some baseball. He played all sports, played some baseball, and he's out back shooting his BB gun. For everybody, we have plenty of property, so he was okay. He wasn't hurting anybody. So just in case anybody's out there worried. And I'm looking, and I'm like, hey, man, what are you shooting at? You know, we had cans and the rest, but I took a closer look. They were trophies. He had some trophies lined up out there. And they were all second and third place type trophies. He's just plucking away at these little trophies. And, you know, I'm like, what's that about? You know, he's like, man, it's just not first place. It's just not winning, you know. But the difference also was the kid hated to lose.
Yeah.
He didn't mind losing. I'm just saying, you know, when he lost, it wasn't like he wasn't dragging himself around if they played well. If you wound up losing because the other team happened to play better, that's fine. But you could see that in Gunnar last night. When he hit that double, and they couldn't get him in. Look, I'm with him. I'm an ally with that guy, shoulder to shoulder. That's got to happen in the pros. You can't do that. And I love it. I love every inch of it. Give the guy a 5, give him a 6, put how many zeros behind it you want, because you build a team around a guy like that. Come on, O's.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike.
Throw in a 7 or an 8. You know, you got numbers. No, look, I don't care what you do. Do not let this guy leave. Like, I've had so much fun just watching him early on in his career. Like, I love the fact when he gets walked, he's so pissed off. Pitch to me, you scared son of... Like, he is so angry.
I love his home run celebration when he kind of high-fives himself. And he's, I mean, it's... He comes across such a humble guy, but at the same time, He's got a lot of swagger.
Dude, I had no idea he was like this when I first when he first really? Came to had no
he
idea.
He thought he was Mr. Rogers.
Was, yes.
Everything was sir and ma'am. Yes, yes sir.
He's
yes,
still sir. Yeah. He's still sir and ma'am, but he's not.
His parents
did. He's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's Lamar
That's
Jackson.
That's why I was going to equate him because I thought Jackson is the same way too.
Right. You know, he's coming very across polite. Mild-mannered southern boy.
Polite.
But so much swagger, mm-hmm. You know.
Baby faced assassin.
I love it. I love it when who was it that slid into him in Boston?
Trevor Story.
Trevor Story slid into him, and after the game, I asked him. You know how sometimes I tell the listeners, and nobody listens, just you and me. So after the game, we did the post game interview. I said, "Gunner, it's just you and me talking right now. You didn't like that slide, and I thought he was going to give me mm-hmm. the baseball TV answer."
He said, "Hard."
He said, "No, I didn't. I didn't like it at all." Then I asked him a follow-up question trying to get him away from it, and he came back to it and said, yeah, you do stuff like that, you just pump me up. And I'm like, this is great. They even used it again last night at the beginning of the game.
Well, because they're back, and that's what they were talking about.
Right. Yes. It's like this dude, that's why I said, give your dad a high five, man. Somebody raised you right. Somebody raised you right. And again, to me, you have got Lamar with the Ravens, and Gunner is that equal guy in terms of personality and swagger.
See, mm-hmm. And the weird thing is, and I don't even feel like I'm out of line saying this. Like, in the next couple years, he could end up being the best player in baseball. He has that type of ability to only get better.
That's how I describe him. He has best player in baseball ability. It all depends on what he does with it. He has the ability to do it. I mean, I go back to this one play. He scored from second base on a pass ball because the pitcher didn't hustle hard enough. Think about that.
Yeah.
Before he hit third, he glanced at the pitcher and saw him lollygagging and shifted gears.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And came home, basically saying, don't disrespect me.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Cover the plate. And what there are only few players in baseball that have the ability to make that play, number one, but then have the instincts to pick, because most players will stop at third. They already think I'm stopping at third.
Yeah.
Before he got the third, he took a peek at that pitcher and shifted gears. I just think you're right. He has best player in baseball ability. It all depends on what he does with it. Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, John Harbaugh said on Monday that all of the guys out over the last few weeks will return shortly. Is this the most healthy the Ravens have been heading to the season? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. I'm going to see Isaiah Likely on The Fan.
We did have a couple injuries. We had Xavier had his broke his clavicle, so he'll be out for a while. And Dayton Wade had to have surgery on his chest, ribs, so he'll be out for a while. So those are the two injuries you have. All the other injuries are stuff that we really expect everybody to be back practicing next week if they're not practicing right now.
Do we have any word? Does that include Isaiah Likely? Is he's not?
He said it's up in the air.
Yeah, up in the air. I want Isaiah Likely back for Buffalo.
I think you don't get him back until week two or three.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That's very fair. I do not.
You don't know.
I did at one point.
Did you just like gargle?
I know what is that gargling or just swishing it around in your mouth? You realize you just did that?
Apparently not.
Was it to the beat?
No. Hold on, we'd have to go back and listen.
I think it was to the beat.
Like a Listerine ad.
Yeah.
That's not gargling, though.
Same thing.
Four out of five gargling. Dentists approve. What's wrong with the other
guy? What's wrong with the other guy?
He's coming around.
He never approves.
That's Trident.
Yeah. He just.
I don't like gum.
He's a naysayer.
That fifth dentist on board yet?
This is big. I think it's big that they come back healthy, even without Isaiah Likely, although I want him back. I think it's important to start the season healthy because Buffalo, you keep talking trash about revenge. Buffalo might be saying, we're going to prove there wasn't a fluke.
They could.
They're going to be a good football team.
But you know what happened last year when they played them in the regular season?
I do.
They busted their ass.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it again.
I do too. I hate saying this because you always sound like a homer, but you guys obviously know I'm not a homer when it comes to the Ravens. But
you're not a. Oh.
Yeah, I'm a homer when it comes to the Orioles.
Mur.
I know what he meant.
You said Buffalo. You said Mur.
Yeah.
I thought you.
Yeah, you missed. He might have been swishing and didn't hear. Oh, you got it? Let me see. Joe's going
to
replay it.
Here's the thing to the beat.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. Like Pac-Man chasing his pellets. You didn't even realize you did it, did you?
No, I did not.
You just ate in a commercial break, didn't you?
Yes.
You gotta save that. Man, you better wash that out.
I know he swallows. He didn't spit it out. I'm not gonna tell you who said it, but in the dugout, I eat seeds, yeah. Sunflower seeds. I'm not gonna tell you who said it. It's a player. So, I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Spitting seeds." That's what she said.
Talk to her. Did the person say this to you on the day he was pitching? Oh man!
Jesus. Again, the health of the Ravens going into Buffalo. You guys think it's a blowout?
Ravens? No. I'm not saying blowout. I think they
win
the game
by at least 10. Yeah. I think it's going to be
that's an NFL blowout.
That's a blowout.
Yeah. I think they handle the game, and that it's look in the first half. I don't think the game's ever in doubt. The Ravens have and
Bills
at the
can't
end of the
stop
year,
their run.
It might be a top three, top offense and defense. I'm saying top five either way, but the way that you look at this team, and you can't go into the preseason and say, oh, they only gave up that one touchdown. It's preseason. But you look at the depth that they have. I can't wait to see them play. Like, I'm grading them on a curve, and I mean, like, stronger. Like, 14-3 to me is what it should be at the end of the year.
The heaviest linebacker is 20 pounds lighter than Derrick Henry. They cannot stop this running game.
Did you just hear that?
What?
What?
You'll smell it.
Oh, God.
Both ends here.
Why don't you swish that ass around?
Jesus. Seriously, I think they're too light to stop the Ravens in the run.
Yeah. I mean, they were.
Call them light in the ass.
They're light in the ass. They are. Yeah. Literally light in the ass.
It's an undersized defense where they want to get the lead and they want to get after you. It reminds me of the old Colts defense where they ran their cover too.
Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis.
Pin your ears back and get after him. And in the cover,
and they had the offense to do it.
Yeah, and the cover two makes you matriculate down the field because they don't give up the big play.
All right, Hank Schram.
Yeah, I just learned that word. Something just matriculated out of your ass.
No, it didn't. It didn't come out slowly.
Oofa.
It was like the Ravens running game.
You let one loose this morning, and I'm sitting over here just basking in it, and I'm like, I just want to say something, but I think he'd let out another one if I said something. It's awful.
The
man.
Revenge one?
Yeah.
What was that... What was that store they had on Curb Your Enthusiasm? What was it called?
The Spite Store.
Yeah, the Spite Fart. Oh, yeah? You want to say something about it?
They're going to say Mocha Joe's.
That's how it started.
Oh, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm with you, Jeremy. If this team is, for the most part, healthy in key areas, they win no fewer than 13 games this year. No fewer. If they're a couple of weeks of injuries, then we're talking about a 10-11 win team. But no fewer than 13 wins healthy.
Is there any chance that any team is there any chance that one of these two teams, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, surprised you and better than you think?
Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to be better than people think.
I think Cincinnati is going to be worse than people think, to be honest with you. But I agree with him. I think this is Ravens, Pittsburgh, and you could probably almost flip a coin on Cincinnati and Cleveland.
I think at some point during this season that Joe Burrow's elbow goes up to the coach and goes, I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. Why are we throwing the ball 50 times a game? That defense is – they did nothing to improve it, and they were the worst defense in football last year.
The Steelers won 10 games last year, and they're better this year.
And, yeah. I mean, they got rid of that malcontent in George Pickens, but watch him have a bang-up season in Dallas unless that season goes awry. Because he ain't going to stop talking if he ain't getting the ball. Even with a better receiver alongside him.
Yeah, but Dak Prescott knows how to feed the receiver. He knows how to pepper receivers, man. If I give him credit for one thing. He knows how – very few times a receiver's unhappy around Dak.
It's all in the hips.
There you go.
It's all in the
hips. We never talked
about
Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers. I think – because he wasn't horrible at the end with the Jets.
It was, I mean, if you look deep at it, wasn't good.
It wasn't good at all.
It wasn't great, but he was better than he was in the beginning. And I think all they need is decent because their defense is great.
The only thing that concerns me is that I saw him missing receivers like way worse than you would ever expect, like bouncing the ball to the receiver.
Really? And not only that, like a lot of his yards came when they were down and the defense was 100% back. Letting him get the completions underneath.
He had two games where he threw,
that's pretty much every game with the Jets
because
they were down.
Like he threw five passes to Devontae Adams going down the field where it's like, here's 17, there's 8, here's another 9, here's 14. It's like,
put the yards together, but doing nothing. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Terps football coach Mike Locksley will join us at 9 o'clock. Can't wait for that. But on the other side, we get studying film with Ken McCusick from filmstudy.com on The Fan.